Why not just shoot out the f***ing sun?
Geek Juice Radio.
You dropping bricks on dogs.
Best fantasy movie ever.
This little boy named Bruce Wayne.
Is it great if you enjoyed it?
Not it, Bruce, no.
Visit our website at www.geekjuicemedia.com.
Welcome, everybody, to another fantastic edition of Geek Juice Radio. Joining us tonight will be myself, Charlie McMullen, broadcasting for the first time from my own goddamn house. We also have with us someone who is now lonely in his basement, Alex Jowski.
I've got my cat.
You mean that psycho cat that keeps jumping at you through the tiles?
Well, actually, she's just kind of laying, being suckled by kittens.
That cat could pick me out of a lineup based on ball scent. We also have Kevin Daly joining us tonight.
Nothing special going on with me. I'm going out of town next week. Or tomorrow, actually. Well, it'll be...
It'll be a week ago when this airs.
Yeah, by the time this airs, I'll be getting ready to come back, unfortunately.
But it's still a well-deserved vacation.
I'm going to need it after today.
Yeah. Rightfully so. And also coming to us from Wisconsin is Josh Hadley.
Yes, you've already heard me berating Jowski, so...
Today we will be discussing, amongst probably a host of other things that we wander off into, but mostly old school comic book adaptations. A lot of them have been very bad recently, but they weren't always that way. This one would mostly be for our younger viewers who maybe don't remember the CBS primetime soap they did of The Flash.
I remember that.
Dude, it had Max Headroom's girlfriend in it. Of course I remember that. Amanda
sure
Pays when she was still hot.
When she was
Josh,
still British.
Max Headroom fanboy strikes again.
Hey, I've warned you about that shit. You know that's one of my all-time favorite TV shows.
Right down to the additional work of the other actors in the show.
That too.
I remember first encountering that show on the TVs that were in the lines at Six Flags Magic Mountain.
Wow.
Stand in line for whatever ride and just watch commercials for The Flash.
There was a Flash ride at Six Flags Magic Mountain, or just in general?
Just in general, on every TV.
Because all I remember really from... Because I've been to Six Flags Magic Mountain maybe two or three times. The only thing I remember are long lines, a lot of heat, and a, like, really gay sort of disco-y club in Riddler's Revenge. Oh, and being punched in the testicles by the way the harness works on Riddler's Revenge. I mean, they named it Nut Ripper's Revenge.
In the testicles, you say?
Yes, in the testicles. You have to, like, put your ball sack to one side or the other of the ride.
And if you're like me, you go nuts trying to pick the right side.
Oh, you go nuts.
I see what you did there, yes.
Thank you.
Well, I would like to say, I had the weirdest experience with my DirecTV today. To a degree that even the tech person said, I'm looking through the files. I've never encountered this. DirecTV's never had a complaint of this before.
What was it?
All right. I went to bed around 7 a.m., and I had been watching Married with Children on TBS. No problem. Everything was fine. I get up. It's searching for satellite signal. Okay, not that weird, you know, if there's a storm or whatnot, but there's not. And the only channels I can get are the Mexican language channels.
Huh.
Even the menu would not pull up the U.S. channels. And this happened on both my receivers on two different floors. DirecTV has never encountered that before. Why it just defaulted to the Mexican channels?
I will say, as a recreational user of marijuana, there is nothing funnier than Spanish television at the right time.
Once, I don't remember, I think I was actually at a job interview. I come back to the car, my wife and my son are in the car, and they were going through channels, and they found some Japanese channel on the radio, and they're just laughing their asses off at this fast-talking, and it's like, what the hell is this? And it was like, we couldn't even find the channel again later. It was like one of those things, you know, you found the G-spot for the Japanese channel in Wisconsin.
Well, last night, I wake up because I hear what sounds like a siren from upstairs, and I go upstairs to see they'd fallen asleep watching television, And Starz was just airing color bars with that beep.
Starz was airing color bars?
Yeah.
All of the pay channels do that now and then. They usually take about once a week, a hour-long downtime to do some satellite maintenance.
At like 3 a.m.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that is bullshit. They're paid channels, okay?
That's prime porn-watching time.
Right. Well, but, Alex, is that the same high Netflix anime users that Charlie and I encountered this last week?
Yes, this last week.
Oh, boy. As if I needed another reason to dislike anime at its core.
Charlie was over at my house to record What the F*** with Josh, and my internet kept going out because people upstairs were streaming anime, which I had this to say. I went up to that f***ing room there where they're all sitting around, two guys, shirtless dudes in a room that smells like pot, watching anime.
That never gets old.
I know. I want that
to be
my
ringtone. That's why I saved those files, because I knew that these were priceless. And there's two more, too.
Yes.
Because that was, I think, the third time he had told them to knock it off. I believe. The first time, play the first one when you were not quite as frustrated.
Oh, my fucking God.
I believe that's the second one, though. Because all of a sudden, I'm like, guys, I'm losing you again, and Jowski just flips out.
I remember, yeah, he flipped out at that point, but I remember earlier he was a little bit more collected about it. He was convinced that it was a one-time isolated incident and that we wouldn't have to worry about it again.
Are you guys there?
There's about to be some victims of aggravated assault upstairs, I'll tell you.
Yep, Jowski's heading upstairs. He's going to go bust some ass.
Did you say, I tell you what? Are you Hank Hill?
I'll tell you what.
That's how Charlie and I and Alex spent Sunday fighting with Alex's internet just to do. Okay, I have never worked so hard to get 5 usable minutes of audio before than I did when I had to work with Charlie.
I felt like such a fraud, man.
It was like the fourth time I made you do the same sentence.
I know, and it like kept feeling more cheesier and more like not spontaneous at all, and I just felt like a chump for saying the same shit over and over again.
But it worked out. When you hear the final episode, you do sound credible still.
Well, that's good, because I'd hate to to blow my authority.
The way I blew my cool.
It was just screaming in the background.
You did. It sounded like someone was trying to take away your preciouses.
And then eventually,
this guy's watching anime. It hurts us.
And then eventually, and I wasn't recording at this point, Alex just comes down, I just took away the router.
Yeah, it's like he was an old man who's like got a frisbee or a baseball on his lawn one too many times. Like, it's mine. I keep it now.
Yeah. Oh, that was an eventful night.
Almost segue back to our topic. I wanted to, before we get into the old school comic book adaptations, discuss this news that happened today. Now, the headline on the article...
Hold on, I think you mean today as in a week ago.
The date
today
of recording.
Today as of the time of the recording.
We're not even worried about breaking the fourth wall. Don't be concerned about that.
Actually, no, this happened a week ago from today, apparently.
So it'll be 2 weeks ago and completely forgotten by the time this airs, but okay.
Because this is old. Oh, wait, no. This happened Tuesday. I just misread it.
We are overthinking this stupid thing too much.
Anyway, the headline on the article, the headline is an issue itself. Twilight fan dies at Comic-Con. A 53-year-old woman was killed Tuesday morning when she was hit by a car outside the San Diego Convention Center while lining up for the Twilight Saga Breaking Dawn Part 2 Comic-Con panel taking place Thursday.
Not the movie, mind you. The panel about the movie.
It was a 2-day line for the panel, apparently.
What? Really?
Yeah.
That's just sad right there.
That's why I thought...
Wow, they make Trekkies look sane.
Right?
But the issues I have...
Joss Whedon fans make Trekkies look sane.
Well, yeah.
The first issue I have, though, is that it's discussing a fan dying at Comic-Con. I mean, the headline doesn't tell you what happened. It's just, fan died at Comic-Con and tries to carry a tenor that, see, it's dangerous to be a fan. Those fans at Comic-Con, they're dangerous people. Those geeks are weird.
From my years in the news, that's called burying the lead.
Right. But it's pretty sad because it was the victim was actually a 53-year-old woman, and she was probably just there because her rotten-ass lame kids wanted to get in to see the Twilight panel. And the papers, she dies, and the papers say Twilight fan dies in car accident, and that is really not fair.
And the other thing is, people get hit by cars every day. They don't report on it, unless it's, like, 80-car pileup or something. It's non-news. But, oh, it happened at Comic-Con, because, you know, those comic book people.
No, it didn't even happen at Comic-Con. It happened on the way to Comic-Con.
Yeah, she was crossing the street to line up for a convention. And she's in a hurry because, oh, I gotta go get this place in line. So she's running without looking both ways.
I think this probably hits too close to home for me because my daughter is into Twilight. It could have been me, is what I'm saying.
Are you saying you believe in sparkly vampires?
Oh, no. No. I every chance I get, I tell her how lame this is going to be in a year and how much she's going to regret ever liking crap like this. And I eventually got her to say, yeah, you're probably right.
But for now, Dad, shut the hell up.
Pretty much.
And the thing here is that Comic-Con and Summit Entertainment have both had to make statements about this. They had to make statements that happened away from their respective areas of interest because somebody got hit by a car.
So is Comic-Con going to make an announcement the next time that an Expendables fan dies of a heart attack 4 days after being at Comic-Con? Are they going to say, oh, he was just so excited to see Stallone and Van Damme together? Or, I mean, people die all the time.
It's a slip.
Just because they were at Comic-Con, who gives a f***?
And she wasn't even at Comic-Con yet.
Yeah. I mean, it's a very slippery slope, because if Summit Entertainment and Comic-Con have to make statements about this, then why didn't the company that makes belts have to make a statement about David Carradine's death?
Because that was in a foreign country.
Still, it's how he died. Nobody blames the belt.
You know, when I first heard that, I was breathless.
I was choked up myself.
You can always count on Charlie and I for the bad puns.
Zing!
Zipper your lip, Charlie.
The other thing that...
Don't leave me hanging.
You guys could probably do a whole show just with autoerotic asphyxiation jokes.
It's essentially an untapped well, and I think maybe I'd like to be the first to do a solid 15 minutes on autoerotic asphyxiation.
and that's like the fourth time we've interrupted Jeffsky, so he's probably getting irritated.
Play the clip again.
Yeah.
We are sorry. Go ahead, Alex.
We could totally be like a regular radio show and have like a soundboard and just use that clip.
Dude, we could. We could be a morning zoo.
I was going to say that the other thing that bugs me, not necessarily about the article, but the comments on the article on various different sites where it's posted are, oh yeah, right, great, you know, this is great news, one less Twilight fan, you know, one person here, I was laughing at this.
This one's weird. It says, my prayers and sympathies to her family and friends. Then underneath it says, though it is nice to see my generation represented at Comic-Con.
Well, technically she wasn't there.
Yeah, she was represented as the victim of an auto accident. That's not nice at all.
She was representing Highway 49. What, too far? Too soon?
Too soon.
The,
no,
the
I don't
people
know.
That are like celebrating.
Hey, Alex, I just thought of this. This news is just hitting the net like a runaway truck.
Oh. But it's the people, the attitude of celebrating the death of a human being. Yeah, they're a Twilight fan. That shouldn't matter. It's still a human being that died a tragic death. And people are making way too much light and celebratory of the matter.
Welcome to the internet.
Yeah, like, I hate...
Yeah, I was going to say, Alex, is this your first day on the internet?
How many hours have you spent on 4chan, Jowski? You should know this by now.
The internet is where all the basement... Read my sanity column from last week, for God's sake.
But it's the fact that...
I think what Alex is saying is that this is kind of more vulture-y than usual.
Yeah.
Well, it's a little surprising given the situation.
Now, if this was a Twilight fan that, like, spent her spare time murdering children everywhere, then yeah, celebrate that death. But this was just some woman.
Yeah, I mean, I hate Twilight as much as the next guy, but I don't wish for their fans to all be struck down by motor vehicles.
Yeah.
I wish their fans to be struck down by brain embolisms.
Well, they're missing a key ingredient, Josh.
Yeah, I know. The embolism can't grow into nothing.
Exactly.
Incidentally, I just found out that this was posted an hour ago. Twilight fans in San Diego Comic-Con are now wearing black ribbons for the memorial of this woman.
Okay, a lot of them were probably wearing black ribbons anyway.
Yeah, it was to cover up all the little cutting scars.
And that people have been camping out near the San Diego Convention Center. They're still saving her place in line.
All right, I'm going to make a really vague reference just to piss off Charlie, and I'm using the word vague there. Camping is not a legitimate strategy.
Some games it is.
No, it's not. Camping is never a legitimate strategy. Camping is the pussy way to play a game.
I guess all the Twilight fans are holding a candlelit vigil by holding up lit clove cigarettes.
Are they just holding a vampire into the sunlight?
Ask someone from Hobby Lobby. Glitter has never sold better than it has today.
Well, hey, if you really want to get dark on this, isn't that the beginning of Twilight, the scene where the car almost hits the rabbit tooth chick and the vampire guy stopped it?
Yeah, where was he for his fans, huh?
Yeah, the guy with the fag hair.
Robert
I cannot,
Pattinson.
Well, I meant the character.
It's Edward.
Edward, okay.
And it's not really fag hair, it's just messy.
Well, you know, and then he's just swooning over Mrs. Rabbit Teeth.
with the one facial expression.
Yeah, Kristen Stewart's, I think actually Keanu Reeves' asshole has expressed more than Kristen Stewart ever has in her entire life.
Particularly on New Year's Day.
or after eating those potato chips that cause anal leakage.
Olestra.
Yep. Now we're gonna get some product placement.
I was gonna say
Olestra.
Olean, but I think that's a butter substitute.
That would be great. Okay, what was that about?
Yeah, I just lost you guys for a second. I come
are
back
they
to
watching
Jousty
anime
screaming.
Again? Nude?
Probably.
Not just shirtless this time. You're gonna take our modem. Guess what's gonna happen now?
It must be.
No, he took the router. He took the router, not the modem.
Oh,
you go up there and some dude's sack is just resting on the router.
you want to take the router again? Go ahead. It's right there. It's right there. Go ahead. Take it.
We're watching Naruto tonight.
Seriously masturbating while they do it.
Take the router. It's right there.
What's Naruto's catchphrase? Believe it or something stupid like that?
I don't know.
The router's right there under my nuts. Believe it.
So being about 20 minutes into the show, you guys want to start the topic?
All right.
That's a good idea.
With the earliest of comic book old school I don't know if it's the earliest, but it's certainly pretty damn early, and it's one of Josh's favorites, Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends.
Oh no, it goes way back. There was a Batman serial in the 40s. Same with a Captain America.
Oh yeah.
Live-action serial in the 40s. So if you're going back to the beginning, I'd say Batman, Superman, and Captain America were probably the first.
I hate that old Superman TV show where the drunk guy played Superman.
You're talking about George Reeves?
Yeah. Oh,
he was number three with a bullet.
Yeah. The George Reeves Superman was, late 50s?
The TV show, but there was a set of serials prior to that.
That
might have been early 50s for the serials.
You know, I watched a bunch of those episodes on Nick at Night, back when Nick at Night actually showed classic TV. And I hated every one of them because I'm like, this isn't the Superman I know that's out there fighting supervillains. This guy's stopping bank robbers in every episode. Single episode, bank robbery.
But Jousty, and I know this is going to sound weird, me being the devil's advocate here, that's what Superman was doing in the comic books at the time, too. So it might not be the Superman you know, but that was an accurate to the time Superman.
Yeah, Lex Luthor
talk
didn't
about
show
slumming
up.
It, by the way. Superman is like bank robbers.
Yeah, I know. Well,
don't exert yourself or anything, Superman.
But really, how much suspense can you pull out of Superman versus bank robber?
He's pretty much a flying security guard at this point.
But you got to remember, even Superman, he couldn't even fly in the beginning.
Oh yeah, he could.
It's almost a decade before. Remember the leap tall buildings in a single bound? He didn't even have the ability of flight until the almost late 50s.
But he could stop a speeding train.
But still,
I mean, he may not be able to fly, but still didn't stand a chance against him.
The Batman one is actually surprisingly moody. It's got a lot of mood and a lot of really cool sets and whatnot. The Batman one, and I don't think I've ever seen the Captain America one, but I've got a 2 VHS set with the whole series on it.
Well, hey,
the Batman one at least had supervillains, didn't it?
Oh, it's been a long time. No, I think he was just fighting like a mad scientist, if that counts as a supervillain.
I think it does.
There were the Batman from the 1960s had a mood, different kind of mood.
Yeah.
Well, gay used to mean happy, so I guess that is a mood.
Well, I was talking its humorous, light tone.
Well, but then you also had those absolutely gorgeous Max Fleischer animated shorts for Superman in the 1940s.
Where he's stopping bank robberies.
No, he wasn't. He was stopping giant robots and mad scientists. And
The mole men. Superman and the fighting mole people.
Yeah, he was fighting actual mutants and giant robots from space and shit like that.
And
those
every
were
woman,
gorgeous.
Every woman in one of those in those Max Fleischer cartoons looked like Betty Page.
Are you is that a complaint? Because I don't see a complaint there, Charlie.
It's certainly not a complaint. I'm just saying it was.
It better just be an observation, Charlie.
Yeah,
it's an observation. It's one of my favorite examples of like Trojan horsed erotica in early media.
Well, and they were always getting tied up, and their shirts were getting ripped.
Exactly. They were very sneaky about it back then.
But yeah, so if Jowski's going to start at the beginning, at least start at the beginning, Jowski.
Is there a problem with the call again?
I swear I'm spending more time listening to the pinging of Skype than I am actually participating in the show.
That is oddly soothing, though, isn't it?
Does it just go, somebody's watching anime, naked?
Yeah.
Please hold while your call is reconnected.
Ball sack. Just remind.
There really should be a firewall for that kind of thing.
Well, and then in the late 50s to mid 60s, superheroes kind of died out other than Batman on TV because they weren't really all that popular in the comics.
Well, when was the golden age of comics?
The golden age?
It was like right after World War II, I would say.
I'd say that through the end of the war, so go early 50s.
Yeah, whenever Captain America was fighting Adolf Hitler.
So the era you're about to discuss now is post-Golden Age.
Yeah, and superheroes were kind of dead on TV, except with the exception of maybe Batman. And then in the 70s, they exploded. You had the Lou Ferrigno Incredible Hulk. You had the Nicholas Hammond Spider-Man where he shot ropes out of his wrists. You guys remember that?
I remember watching the pilot movie at school on film.
Do you realize how much that film would actually be worth today to a collector?
Probably quite a lot.
That would go for a ton.
But they hooked it up to the film projector and we watched that movie.
This is what we're going to do today instead of teaching.
So I think it was daycare.
And then there was a pilot made for Doctor Strange that never made it past the pilot stage. There was borderline superhero Mandrake the Magician. They made a pilot for him. Actually, he might have gotten his own short-lived series now that I think about it.
I believe he did.
And then you also had the movies at that time. Like, there was that one adaptation of Captain America.
The one with, Dolph Lundgren? That one was in the 80s.
Yeah, I'm getting a little...
Dolph Lundgren was the Punisher. What the hell are you talking about, Charlie?
Dolph Lundgren,
really? Captain America and the Punisher? What?
No, you're right. Who was it then who played Captain America in the really bad 80s one?
Reb.
It was Reb Brown.
It was actually 1990, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was the 90s.
No, that was the movie. That was the Albert Pin movie with J.D. Salinger's kid as Captain America. No, in the 70s, it was actually two TV movies, both of them being backdoor pilots. And in the second one, Christopher f***ing Lee slummed it as the villain Miguel. Because when I think of a supervillain named Miguel that's from South America, of course I think of a huge white British dude.
Yeah, that's what I think.
He even still used the British accent. He didn't even try a South American accent.
Now, you mentioned that it was J.D. Salinger's kid.
Yeah, I cannot remember his first name.
See, I never knew J.D. Salinger had a kid. Yeah, I always figured he was so bitterly antisocial that he's
going to... No, he had a couple kids.
Salinger shot, and the movie was shot in Yugoslavia.
Yeah.
Jowski, you want to hear something really weird? You know where else you might know Salinger's kid from? He was the second in command of the jocks in Revenge of the Nerds. He was Burke.
Oh my god.
Yes, that is J.D. Salinger's son.
J.D. Salinger's son grew up to be everything J.D. Salinger was against.
Pretty much. He actually wasn't that bad as Captain America, but that movie in 1990 was nigh unwatchable. Because they made Captain America such a twat, really. He spent the whole movie being jerked around, and the entire film was him constantly being saved by the President of the United States instead of the other way around.
Yeah.
Now, what was he saved like, that the President had to jump into action and save him, or was he saved in the way that Inspector Gadget saves the day?
He was, like, he'd start fighting some, you know, just nameless bad guys of the not-quite-Red Skull who had reconstructive surgery, so he didn't have a Red Skull anymore, and he had a face, and for whatever reason was now Italian instead of German, don't ask. And
look at my new face.
Actually,
no, I'm serious. He was Italian.
Yeah, they still do go with the fascist angle, though, that he was part of Mussolini's projects.
Yeah, but why change it from German? The Red Skull's a f***ing Nazi.
There had to have been a German investor on the film that's like, don't remind the people of Nazis.
My new face is just so nice.
And then, like, he'd start fighting with some nameless bad guys, and they'd get the drop on him, and the President, who he's there saving, would constantly come and save him. Like, three different times in this fight, and the President's even the one that kills the Red Skull. Captain America spends the whole movie doing nothing. He steals a little girl's bicycle at one point and is bicycling after some bad guys in a car. It's pathetic.
Well, he's the Captain. Why do it something when you can get the enlisted folk to do it for you?
What, the President is the enlisted folk?
Captain America was like a he was like a sidekick without a hero in that.
Kinda, yeah.
It was not good.
Speaking of sidekicks, though, Robin from the 60s Batman.
Burt Ward.
Gee Willikers.
Holy blank. What are, you know?
Holy bare legs that are inappropriate for me to be showing, older man Batman.
Yeah, if any of you guys have read his autobiography, he got like you would not believe from that show.
I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it at all. He had to have been knee deep.
Most of his autobiography is about him and all the women he got, all the tale he had.
And I think it was on a dare that woman only slept with him to ensure that he actually did have a penis.
And you know
what? The cover of his book is a picture of his crotch.
Yeah. And you know what? Even if it was for a dare, if I was Burt Ward, I would have said, you know what, that's a weird deal, but I'll take it.
I mean, I could see woman watching that show and going, he's got smoother legs than I do, and I wax.
It's almost unfair.
Yes, and it's not CGI smooth legs. That man just, ugh.
What other adaptations were there? I mean, there was the Frigno Hulk, which I don't hold it as sacred as most everyone else does. It pissed me off that the network said that Bruce was too gay of a name, so his name was David Banner. That's exactly why they changed it, by the way.
You tell me it's Bruce Campbell next time you see him.
Exactly.
Well, and then see the thing I didn't mind the Hulk so much at the time because I was too young, because I'm probably the only one here that would actually watch that first run, but. When you watch it's the exact same episode. It's the exact same episode every single week.
It is this because I watched two episodes. And then the first episode, Hulk is hitchhiking across the country, ends up in this town. There's a bully in this town, and the Hulk stops him.
Yep, I better stop walking backwards for some reason.
And then the second episode, the same thing happened. I'm like, I've seen the whole show now.
And then in the mid '90s, early '90s. They decided to use the Hulk as like a pilot, backdoor pilot series for a bunch of other Marvel characters. You had Daredevil appearing in one, you had Thor appearing in one, and they shot a She-Hulk pilot with him that's never seen the light of day, not even in bootleg form. Nobody can get it was Brigitte Nielsen as She-Hulk. That's never seen the light of day, but they shot
Shut the f*** up.
I'm serious.
Oh man, that would be awesome.
Oh.
You can find some pics of it online, but Marvel or whatever the production company, they've not allowed that one to even leak out as a bootleg.
I knew this person. I don't want to say friend because they really weren't a friend, but they were this lonely guy, and the only thing he had in his house was a picture, and it's in one of those little keepsake frames where you'd put a picture of your family or your loved one. Just a picture of Linda Evans as Wonder Woman.
Wow.
Except Linda Evans wasn't even yes, I know she was in the pilot, but she wasn't even the real Wonder Woman. Linda Carter was Wonder Woman.
Linda Carter is what I meant to say.
Well, because Wonder Woman had a different actress for the pilot episode.
Yeah,
it was Linda Evans from Dynasty.
And Linda Carter is who I meant to say.
And Linda Carter is the one that took over for her after the pilot.
And you know what's creepy? If you still see her today, she still don't look bad.
Who, Linda Carter?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She was the principal in Sky High, if I'm not mistaken.
She was also the mayor in Super Troopers.
Yeah, that's right.
Or governor. Something like mayor or governor.
Well, before that, she was in her satin tights fighting for her rights.
Yep.
Wonder Woman!
And then there was one that, and I'm not trying to be all hipster that I've seen this and you haven't, but it never aired in America, so foreign listeners probably saw this, but there was an American TV pilot made of the Justice League in 1996 that was never shown in America, but has been shown on European TV quite a bit.
So 96, who would have been the biggest actors on TV?
Well, Martian Manhunter was David Ogden Steers from MASH.
Okay.
Well, he was Martian Manhunter.
1996 is when you had the Melrose Place 90210 era, so you'd had all them as big stars.
Fire was played by Michelle Hurd from Law & Order Special Victims Unit. And
the cast of Friends was big at that time.
And the villain was Miguel f***ing Farrar.
Oh, get out of here, really?
Yes, he was the villain in that, and he is... I love Miguel Farrar. He is just awesome.
Which villain... Yeah, I love that dude. Which villain was he playing?
He wasn't playing an established villain. He was just a crazy guy with a terrorist mask on his face called the Weatherman. And he had a series of weather destruction equipment. I'm not joking.
Speaking of which, who remembers Super Friends?
Again, I'm the only one that's old enough to have watched those first run.
Although no, I did watch.
I did watch Super Friends first run.
I watched every single episode on Cartoon Network.
That doesn't count.
And still every episode.
Yeah, well, I had to get up early on Saturday mornings. I had to watch those. I watched those from 79 through when they stopped in 85.
Yes, we paid our dues by suffering through the Cocoa Puffs-induced diarrhea.
I thought Cocoa Puffs was diarrhea.
It got to a point where there was no difference.
No, okay, do you remember that Simpsons episode where there was the jagged metal crusty O in every box? That's what Cocoa Puffs was to the roof of your mouth.
Oh, yeah.
It was just sandpaper to the roof of your damn mouth.
I just assume that Captain Crunch, because every bite just tastes like blood.
Yes, in Captain Crunch's defense, it didn't actually taste like blood until it got to your already bloody mouth.
You'd see that bird in the Cocoa Puff commercials. I'm cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs! And I'd be, why? It's not that good.
It's because he's not... Yeah, and also it's because he's not home and he has to know where the public bathrooms are.
But yeah, Super Friends.
I'm cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
I'm cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs is basically a euphemism for I gotta drop a deuce that's all liquid.
Yep.
And hey, is it wise when your cereal looks like rabbit turds to have a crazy rabbit as your spokesman?
Oh, well, I think...
That he's just dumping ass into every box or something?
I think he was like a bird.
Well, the Cocoa Puffs.
Thinking of the Trix rabbit. Thinking of the Trix rabbit, sorry.
The Trix rabbit still looks like rabbit shit, only in many different colors.
Just colorful rabbit
like maybe, you know, rabbit shit on, you know, like New Year's Day or the day after someone's birthday. You know, people are having a good time. They're not paying attention to what the rabbit's eating until the next day. Looks like a Cosby sweater.
Well, and then, okay, back to the Super Friends. I've got a funny Super Friends story. Now, I watched those first run. Do you guys remember Challenge of the Super Friends, the ones with the Legion of Doom?
That was every Super Friends.
No, it wasn't. Lame ass. No, with the Legion of Doom, with the huge upside-down Darth Vader helmet as their headquarters.
Yes.
Well, that was the most ridiculous version of the Super Friends, they didn't even pretend physics existed.
I loved it!
Yeah, any version with Zan and Jaina was the worst version of Super Friends.
I liked
That would be the world's greatest Super Friends.
I'm pretty sure the Wonder Twins is a metaphor for incest.
It really is. They were like the Osmonds.
But, okay, so keep in mind, Challenge of the Super Friends absolutely didn't even pretend to be realistic. Now, I haven't seen these since the 70s. So a friend and I are watching these in the mid-90s on Cartoon Network. And we're watching one with this Tower of Eternal Evil. And it's just doing one ridiculous thing after another. Now, keep in mind, we had almost no idea this was coming because neither of us had seen this since the 70s. My friend stands up and goes, why not just shoot out the f***ing sun? Guess what happened in the cartoon next?
Shot out the goddamn sun.
Yep. And we're just kind of like, oh, God.
Now, you could play a drinking game with Super Friends.
This is the same one that would have them breathing in space, and the narrator would go, moments later, billions of miles away. They can travel billions of miles through space in moments. I love that.
The Flash would accelerate the particles in his body so he could walk through a wall.
Or the one where there was a comet about to hit Earth. So Green Lantern was in space, used his ring around the entire planet, moved the entire Earth. The comet passed, and he moved the Earth back.
Not only that, but it was a giant catcher's mitt that was coming out of the Green Lantern's ring.
All right. Now, like, everybody on the Super Friends had their own catchphrase, like, Great Krypton! And Wonder Woman be like, Great Hera!
The Wonder Twins said, and here's one to grow on.
No. Do you know what the Wonder Twins said?
What was that?
Jupiter's!
Ah, yes. Here's one to grow on was at the end of each episode when they had, like, some public service announcement about, if you see this bottle in the kitchen, don't drink it because you'll die, or whatever it is.
I remember one episode of the Super Friends where Superman, Batman, and someone useless, like Aquaman or something, they go 4,000 years into the future, and it's Tatooine. They're in a desert place with Jawas and the bar and the Mos Eisley Cantina, and it's like
that would definitely make Aquaman the most useless character
in the desert. But it was just kind of like, yeah, I'm gonna guess this came out right after Star Wars hit in the theaters.
Yeah, that was a huge ripoff of Tatooine. I remember one really lame villain on the Super Friends animated show. I forget what his name was, but the only like nefarious thing that he did was inflated people until they looked fat.
Well, see, if you go through the just Super Friends, the very first Super Friends cartoon, the ones with Wendy, Marvin, and Wonder Dog, the hour-long episodes, there were no super villains. There was a dictate from the network. We want you to tackle real world problems. Every single episode that season was the villain was some misguided scientist. Every episode, there was no villains in that version of the show.
Or somebody trying to get Marvin to try pot or something.
That would because you tell me Marvin wasn't Shaggy in a cape.
Oh no, he was. He certainly was.
I mean, hell, Don Messick did do the voice for Wonder Dog, and he's the voice of Scooby-Doo. He pretty much did the same f***ing voice.
And the villain that inflated people till they looked fat, I remember it was Frank Welker doing the voices. Whenever someone was inflated until they were, like, big and round, their voice would, like, sink into their chest. Like, so Batman would be like, Robin, we've got to try something.
I remember one that actually used a Scooby-Doo ending. Batman and the Wonder Twins were solving some mystery in a swamp, and they're fighting some troll, and at the end they actually pull the mask off, and Batman starts explaining why he was trying to scare away the residents of the town, and I'm going, this is a discarded Scooby-Doo script that Batman somehow wormed his way into. What the hell just happened? This isn't Super Friends, this is Scooby-Doo!
Now, there's some Super Friends that I didn't know if they actually existed in comic book format or not. Mostly the ethnic ones, like Apache Chief.
Yes. Apache Chief was in the comics.
Chuck.
Black Vulcan was in the comics.
Black Vulcan was in the comics. No, I think you mean Super Volt.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
From
all I can think of when you guys are bringing up these characters is Harvey Birdman.
Yes.
Oh, my God. I love Harvey Birdman so much.
I was so mad when that was canceled, all because what's his face from Comedy Central quit?
Stephen Colbert.
Yeah, as soon as he quit, they just said, we don't want to do the show without him because he was one of the writers on it. So they just said, because he's leaving, the show's done. That's kind of disingenuous to the show itself.
He was the backbone of the show because he was a writer. He did the voice of Philkin, Sebin, and the voice of Reducto.
Right, but hey, Charlie.
I'm taking your mind! Mind taker!
Ha ha, off topic.
Do you want to know something funny? He is the shrink in Blade 3 that's trying to analyze Blade after Dexter's dad catches him.
Yeah, John Michael Higgins, that guy's in a ton of stuff.
But if you think about it, it's just funny thinking of Mentok the Mind Taker interviewing Blade, isn't it?
That would have been a great Harvey Birdman.
All right, now, one thing I was wondering. The most worthless comic book character who ever existed was Aquaman.
I don't know about that, but of the main, like, big names, probably.
And
no, no, Alex, I'm going to fight with you on that. No, because even though I just made fun of him a minute ago, if you read the comics, even when he's out of the water, he has super strength. He's faster than a normal human. He can see farther because his eyes are adjusted to the darkness of the depths, and he can hear better than us. He's hardly a useless character.
Fish can't see better.
It's all dark down there.
I've got my fish eyes, which means I'm super.
Also, they're on the sides of my head.
And they taste like tapioca.
That just means you can't see in front of you.
All right, so you're trying to Mariner's a useless character for Marvel?
Well, Mariner, yeah,
he was a pimp though.
Yeah, he was a pimp.
Yeah, Namor was a total pimp. He was what, like, he was the best version of Aquaman, because like Aquaman has a lot of downtime because I mean, the planet's 3/4 water, but oddly enough, not a lot of happens there. So, Aquaman's got a lot of downtime, and Namor is the version of him if he had used that downtime to like capitalize on his superhero cred and pick up bitches and stuff.
Yeah, because like Aquaman,
Aquaman
wasn't in an adventure. He was just sitting bored. The Mariner, he's like, Charlie. Hell, I'm just gonna bang some mermaids.
Exactly.
Or Susan Storm, from what I hear in the latest comics.
Yeah.
Charlie, do you know what Namor is? Namor is the Scarface version of Aquaman.
Exactly.
But I was going to ask, was there any, outside of Super Friends, movie or TV show or cartoon that was Aquaman?
Yes, yeah, he had his own cartoon in the 60s.
He did?
Yeah. He had his own cartoon, and when they redid the Justice League back in the late 90s, the new version of Aquaman looked like a blonde Kris Kristofferson.
Yeah, in the old cartoon from the 60s, his mount was like a seahorse that he would ride around that could breathe fire. Underwater, it breathed fire. It breathed fire. My brain was working overtime to try and do that one.
You were the air that I breathed.
It breathed fire.
Cool story, bro.
But yes, Aquaman did have his own cartoon for Boomerang used to show it, actually.
I mean, outside of the ocean, the only thing I would trust Aquaman's judgment on is maybe picking out a variety of fish food.
That's kind of what the cartoon was about.
I don't know, trident shopping? If I was buying a trident, I'd be like, Aquaman, tridents.
Because, Josh, you remember it was called Aquaman and His Friends, but they didn't have any other Justice League superheroes. It was his friends would be like dolphins and
Well, no, he did have Aqualad, his son.
Yeah, Aqualad. Yeah.
Yeah, he Aqualad. And because it was a Hanna-Barbera cartoon from the 60s, Aqualad was actually the main character. Just like in Space Ghost, Jan and Jaina were always the main characters, and Space Ghost just kind of was dicking around in the background most of the time.
I think that blue monkey got more screen time than Space Ghost.
No, the blue monkey was Gleek from the Super Friends. He wasn't blue. The monkey wasn't blue on Space Ghost.
Right, he was purple and he wore a Lone Ranger mask.
Yeah, but Gleek was on the Super Friends, and he was a blue monkey from
space.
That's
right. Yes. The Space Ghost, the monkey.
And he always saved the day.
Always, without fail.
Yeah. But the fact that Aquaman has a son, you have to wonder, where's the mother? What did she have to say about this?
Well, it was...
Other than don't stop rape.
It was a C-section with a pocket fisherman.
A C-section.
I see what you did with the C there.
All right,
I'm gonna be proud.
I'm gonna throw out a reference here. I'm gonna be a little disappointed if y'all don't get it. Is this what happens when Troy McClure gets drunk at the aquarium?
I think I saw that episode.
It was the episode where he married Selma for good PR.
Yeah,
because
that's what I was thinking of. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. People don't really do that thing with fish, Homer.
Who did the voice of his agent?
Adam West.
Wrong. Jeff Goldblum.
I thought it was Adam West.
Ooh. It was totally Jeff Goldblum. Adam West played himself on The Simpsons, but Troy McClure's agent was, it was definitely Jeff
Goldblum.
Yeah,
it was Jeff Goldblum. I remember.
Oh, okay.
And Troy McClure was,
Phil Hartman.
Yes.
Phil Hartman.
Talk about being number one with a bullet.
Sad thing about Phil Hartman, this is getting off topic too, but I was watching the season one of Futurama on DVD. I was listening to all the commentaries.
I was worried you were going to tell me you were watching like Small Soldiers or something.
I was worried you were going to say Coneheads, because I watched that the other day.
I began crying as I watched Jingle All the Way. No.
Oh yeah, he was totally the... He's like the
I was... You know, yeah, he was the dick in Jingle All the Way.
That's an awful movie.
But they said that the part of Zap Brannigan, they weren't even going to have Phil Hartman audition. It was his. And then he was killed the day before they recorded.
Aww.
Yeah, I heard that too. And I also like the fact that Zap Brannigan, did you guys ever hear his description of how they came up with the character?
I did. I know exactly what it is.
Well, how about Jowski and Kevin?
I heard it on the DVD commentary at one point, but I forget now.
They said, what if William Shatner were captain of the Enterprise?
Yeah.
Not like Captain Kirk, William Shatner the actor. Yeah, what if he were captain of the Enterprise? That's Zap Brannigan.
Yeah,
well, but Billy West's voice is basically William Shatner by way of Phil Hartman.
Mm-hmm. They were just like, we want someone who is half Captain Kirk and half actual William Shatner.
Hey, guys, would you want to share some champagne with me?
Do you know a lot about champagne? Are you a connoisseur?
Not everybody it loves velour as much as you do. All this velour.
I'll send wave after wave of my men at it. You suck! The one guy in the background just screams, "You suck!"
Few people know that every kill bot has a preset kill limit of 10 million.
I want you to kill all the aliens, sir. Okay, don't kill Kif.
Unless you have to.
Yeah.
Kif is my favorite Futurama character, by the way, though.
Oh, and he entered into a relationship with what's-her-face?
Amy
Wong.
Yeah, even though Leela technically fathered his babies, yes, that makes sense, Amy's going to raise them.
Right. In 20 years.
Yes, but technically Leela is the father.
Yes, Leela is the man mama, as they put it.
Sorry, the Smizmar.
The Smizmar.
Well, Amy is technically the Smizmar because she inspired the initial romantic feelings.
True. You guys should see what I'm seeing right now. My puppy is sitting here with that I'm about to fall asleep, but I don't dare actually go to sleep thing, where he's got the eyes closed and he's fighting with himself to stay vertical.
I hope our audience doesn't have that look.
like Mel Gibson in Conspiracy Theory. Switch the charts. Switch the charts.
You know, I haven't seen Conspiracy Theory in years. I can't remember if I liked it or not.
I liked it. Douchebag that Mel Gibson was, I liked the movie. Patrick Stewart was brilliant.
I think Payback is my favorite Mel Gibson movie.
Oh, that is a good one.
I like the absurd violence.
I don't know that I'd place Payback above something like Bird on a Wire, for instance.
My wife always liked Air America.
That was actually a good movie.
The Man Without a Face.
Well, all right, let's get back to comic books a little bit. Jowski tried to bring up before Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends. Do you guys remember that one at all?
I do.
I know.
Only I ever saw it.
I lived then, but I remember watching it recently.
I liked that one because, now, Charlie, I think you can back me up on this since you remember it more than Alex or Kevin does. That one really felt like you were in the Marvel Universe, didn't it?
It did, because it brought in... It brought in other characters besides Spider-Man. Like, you know, something he would do with Iron Man would affect something that the Fantastic Four does.
It just felt like, I mean, there were all these useless cameos. Literally, in one episode, they were walking past Stark's company and you see Iron Man fly up and there's a comment like, must be something going on. And he just flies into space and it's not referenced again. And it's like, interesting Iron Man cameo.
Yeah, I love that they don't reference it at all. Like, it's commonplace in this show.
Did you ever read the first issue of the Avengers comic?
Yes.
And
no. I know you were whining about how boring it was.
Well, the one thing in there that is pretty interesting and fun is, you know, Loki's causing destruction in the world and the mind controlling the Hulk. And so these kids decide, okay, we need to get the Fantastic Four to help us. And the Fantastic Four just say, we're busy, find somebody else.
I have no problem with that at all.
And
I
thus
love
the
that.
Avengers was formed.
Yeah.
Well,
that and Jarvis was an actual person. Which made the whole thing kind of demeaning.
So as far as you say about Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends, with all making it feel like you're in the Marvel Universe because innocuous things were happening with other Marvel characters, yes, because that's how the Marvel Universe was.
Yeah,
it happens all the time in the Spider-Man comics. You have the crossovers with Fantastic Four early and often.
There was a reference in one episode. I think it was of just before The Amazing Friends. I think it was just The Amazing Spider-Man cartoon. From like 1980, there was a great joke. Remember, the Superman movie had just come out, And Mary Jane was asking him what he was going to do tonight. He goes, I'm going to go to the movies. I hear there's a movie about an alien that's allergic to green rocks. It sounds really weak. Yeah. I thought, okay, that was kind of a funny dig.
That was cool. I don't know. And I remember there was an album that came out, I think, 1994 or 95, probably 94. Saturday Morning's Greatest Hits, where the Ramones covered that Spider-Man theme.
I loved that
Spider-Man
album.
Spider-Man does whatever a spider can. Yeah.
Okay. It was wonderful.
There's few bands on that album. There's few bands on that album that were big. There was Sublime was doing Hong Kong Phooey.
Yeah.
Reverend Horton Heat did a mashup of Johnny Quest and then Catch That Pigeon.
Catch That Pigeon, right.
I think it was a pretty big one that did Scooby-Doo. I don't remember.
I believe it was Matthew Sweet that did Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, it was Matthew Sweet that did Scooby-Doo.
We had my favorite, apart from the Ramones one, was the Butthole Surfers doing Underdog.
Yes. You had some woman, I don't know if she was ever a named artist, doing that song from a Flintstones episode that Open Up Your Heart and Let the Sunshine In.
That was Jill Sobule, I believe.
What is this album called?
It's called Saturday Morning's Greatest Hits.
I will find it. I listened to that album all the time.
Saturday Morning Cartoons Greatest Hits. I found it on Amazon.
Who was it that did Happy Happy Joy Joy?
Ren and Stimpy.
It was Wax. Wax.
Familiar with.
They were.
Oh yeah, Wax. Wax is the band that did the opening theme to Mallrats.
Huh.
During the comic book cover credit sequence.
I'll have to see that again.
Take what I'm gonna say is the worst comic book adaptation of anything ever created by anyone. Batman and Robin.
And Charlie, I'm going to fight you on worst comic adaptation of all time.
Okay.
I've got one that's actually probably just as bad. I am the law!
Oh, yeah. You know what? I maintain that Batman and Robin was worse than Judge Dredd.
The only thing I'll give you on that is that Judge Dredd, at least visually, was perfect.
It had exact robots.
The costumes, the vehicles, the weapons, the set designs, they all looked exactly like they did in the comic. But then there is, and then there's Armand Asante chewing so much scenery, I'm surprised he didn't put on Marlon Brando-sized pounds. Remember?
Yep. And then, Rob Schneider, because that's what they did back then. They put Rob Schneider in stuff.
Max von Sydow was in the movie.
What's that?
Max von Sydow was in that movie.
Yeah, well,
too bad for him.
I mean, he tends to take whatever paychecks come his way, but still,
that's very true.
What do you think of the reboot? I like the trailer I saw.
The trailer, by the way, is just called Dread, not Judge Dread. But I think the reboot looks really goddamn good.
It does.
I was enjoying it thoroughly, and I liked the fact that I could understand what he was saying.
That was the missing element from the first one.
He pronounced law correctly. Carl Urban can speak English.
He didn't say
the law.
Right,
and on this discussion, we're going to go ahead call it a night.
Indeed. Someone else do the outro. Josh, you've never done the outro.
Thank you for listening to Geek Juice Radio. I know we didn't really stick to our topic, but do we ever when I'm on this show?
Do we ever?
Whether you're on the show or not, we don't. I mean, last week we discussed Brave Little Toaster off topic forever.
I haven't heard that one yet because it airs tonight. The night we're recording this.
The Brave Little Toaster bit was cut and posted on the site as a review.
Even better.
It was some of our finest work that he just had to cut out because it was that off topic.
It was bad off topic, but I needed to rescue it and post it as a review for the movie.
So, for Mr. Screaming Mimi, Alex Jowski.
Hello, Alex Jowski. And
I wasn't doing your intro, moron.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say goodbye for mine. I don't know what you guys are going to do.
I was going to plug, visit our website, www.geekjuicemedia.com.
But you decided to be a derp instead?
Hello. Hi.
You know what?
For Kevin Daly.
That would be me.
For Charlie McMullen.
Still laughing.
I am Josh Hadley, and thank you for listening to Geek Juice Radio.
Stay tuned for the projection booth.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently that's the Spider-Man theme from the Ramones.
No, it's not.
No, it's not. The Ramones were not a ska band.
I was going to say, I don't...
Spider-Man, Spider-Man, Find us.